Friends, I'm turning this evening to the book of Joshua, and I'll be reading from verse 1 to 9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Thank the Lord for his word. And this is the passage that we are going to take our lessons from this evening. And as we always say, all these are in the scriptures for our examples. And from now and the coming week, when you have the opportunity, we'll be looking at some of the Old Testament characters and how they worked with God and how they were blessed by God. And we can learn from it. As we all, I always say, there were people like us. They were sinners who were saved, and yet God did mighty things through them. And in the same way, if we follow their ways, we'll see the same things in our lives. So, as I said, I will be going in an expository manner to try to explain some of the things in this passage and the lessons that we can learn from. So, my title for this evening is Facing the Future in Faith. Facing the future in faith. I've always said that faith is believing or claiming what God has promised. It's not what we want or what we think we must have. Faith is believing in what God has promised. So here we will see all what God promised Joshua and how they were all fulfilled, and what we should also do to have this as example. There is a saying that the only permanent thing in life is change. Change is the only permanent thing in life. This means there will be changes in everyone's life. As a church, as individuals, as a country, whoever you are, there will be a change in your life. But how do you face those changes? How do you face them to move forward? These are the lessons that we are going to learn tonight. And as I've already said, there will by all means be changes. Why is it so? The first thing is that changes cause everyone a certain amount of anxiety. Everyone who is going to go through a change, you will be anxious. You become very comfortable with the way things are, so that when there is going to be a change, for new situations, we will be anxious to know what is going to happen to us. And there's an amount of fear and all kind of things. And this can be very, very stressful. as I've said, generations change, leaders change, governments change, circumstances of individuals too change, and church leaders also change. So as a church, we are not left out. We can also go through a chamber. How do we face that change? The second thing is that whenever there's a change in leadership, that causes a certain amount of instability. Or we're thinking, what will happen next? What will happen? What exactly are we going to go through? Like I said, families and churches as well as individuals go through change, and we all wonder how the change is going to affect us, how we are going to be able to go through. There's also a time to reflect on one's past and a time to also face the future. I remember I've been seeing some inscriptions on some throttle vehicles. Some of them, who knows tomorrow? It's like in the question mark. Some of them, future is unknown. And others, there was a Nigerian song. I don't know those who remember. It said, who knows tomorrow? Nobody knows tomorrow. That's the saying. But the good news is that we have somebody who is omniscient, who is Alpha and the Omega, who knows the beginning and the end, who knows everything, and who can be present at all times. And he is the one that we should look to when there's going to be a change. Another thing we learn that change is very scary for some and also a challenge to others. But change for the right reasons is always very good. If the change is for the right reasons, it's very good. Sometimes we must change in order to accomplish God's will, as we are going to see tonight. God's will was for the people of Israel to take over the land of Canaan. So there had to be a change, both of leadership and everything, for them to accomplish this thing. So in the same way, some changes help us to accomplish God's will. So really, it is right and proper to face the future with faith. That is why I said faith is on what God has already commanded us. So as I said, this is the beginning of our expository sermons on some characters of the Old Testament, and we are beginning with Joshua, who was also referred as a faithful warrior. And the subject of this message, or what I've just read to you, Joshua 1 to 9, is about the courage of faith. The courage of faith, and especially moving forward in times of change. How to have that courage of faith to move forward without fear. So the overall principle of this account is that for believers, as we face changes in the future, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear in the first place, and we have everything to look forward to when we exercise the courage of faith in the God who is faithful. And like I said, all-knowing, he's omniscient, he knows everything. So our courage of faith must be in him, he who knows everything, and he who has the power to change every situation. So I want to give a few reasons why we must exercise this change, the courage of faith, to face every change that comes our way. I have about two or three reasons why we must do this. And the first is that we must exercise the courage of faith in order to face crisis. There will be crisis. Christ has said that in this life there will be tribulation, in John 16 verse 33. So as a church, as families, as individuals, in our walk with God, we are bound to face crisis. We are bound to face challenges. And as Christ said in John 16:33, he says, those things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world that we are now, ye shall have tribulation. Tribulation is crisis, affliction, pressure. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Christ is saying that there will be changes, there will be tribulation, there will be affliction, there will be pressure. But we should take courage, because in all of them, he has overcome, as we learned in the morning. Whatever situation that we go through, Christ is saying that we should be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. everything in this world is under him. So, and this Christ spoke this way to the disciples when it was a time for him to depart, knowing that after his departure, they were going to face challenges, they were going to face trials in the future. So he told them that even if they are facing the trials, they should have courage and always know that he has conquered the world, including all the tribulations that they are bound to go through. So now let's come to our passage in chapter 1, verse 2a. We read, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spake to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And this is a very remarkable statement, because sometimes God tells us things that we know already, but he makes something that we know, but we refuse to admit. So he tells us the reality. Now, Joshua, stop murmuring. Stop thinking about anything. The reality is that Moses is dead. He's never coming back to life again. So don't think about Moses again. Think about how you are going to move forward. Because the objective of you coming from Egypt is to go and take over Canaan. Moses is dead on the way, but his God is alive. So God says, now, Joshua, take courage and lead my people. It seems that was what he was telling Joshua. He's saying that the time for mourning, the loss is over. Stop wondering what you are going to do next and look up to me and follow my ways. And I will see all the blessings that God gave him, the instructions and the promises that God gave him. So as he's saying to them, now Moses had died. But that doesn't mean that Israelites will not have to go and accomplish God's will. They still have to go. And they have to go and take over the land of Canaan. So this then became a moment of crisis for the people of Israel. Moses was 120 years old when he died. And he had been with Israel as a leader for 40 years. From Egypt, through the crossing of the Red Sea, in the wilderness. He was with them. For 40 years, they were in the wilderness. And he was the only leader that they had known since they left Egypt. That was the only person they knew. And now that person is gone. I'll just mention some of the things, the miracles that God used Moses to do when he was with them. Remember when they needed water? God told Moses to strike the rock, to give them water. You can imagine getting water from a rock. And yet God used Moses to do that. You see, God was bringing all these things to the mind of Joshua to also think of what he has done to Moses. And he has said earlier on that what I did to Moses, I will do the same thing to you. After I was with him, I will also be with you. Through him, Moses gave them water from the rock. Through him, when they were going to face the Amalekites, the very strong army, it was Moses who went to raise his hand up, praying towards God, and for all the time that his hand was up, they were winning their wars. This is the same Moses that now they are losing. The Moses who led them to ensure victory over the Amalek army. So Moses has been Joshua's mentor for 40 years, and that was he was his model. He was the person that he was looking up to. Joshua had worked alongside him. He had seen Moses' character. He has seen how he makes his decisions. He has seen how he responded to crisis and a lot of things that Moses did. He has witnessed Moses' relationship with God, how God spoke to Moses, and how Moses' faith was in God. He has seen all these things, not knowing that all that time, God was preparing him for this time. And the lesson for us as believers is that we must know that when God directs a change, it is always for a good reason. God will never bring a change for nothing. Whenever he brings a change, it's for a good reason. For Israel, the time had come for the people to possess the land. That was God's purpose. But Moses was not the man to take them there. Even though Moses has been the intercessor between them and God, now is in the tent of Joshua. I will explain further why it wasn't Moses who had to go, but it has to be Joshua. Like I said, Moses had been their intercessor between them and God. First, he alone has spoken with God at the top of the mountain. It was only Moses who spoke to God at the top of the mountain. Secondly, he is the only one who interceded with God on their behalf, time and time again. Even though they had different roles, Moses was the one that was always interceding with God. Moses was the one who prayed to God. Joshua was the warrior. There are two people. God uses Moses to do this. He used Joshua to do the other thing. In Exodus chapter 17 from 8, we learn that Moses stood at the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. That's what we learn. But Joshua, he is the one who led the people into the battle with the Amalekites. Why did God do that? Each one for a different purpose. Each one for a different task. Moses was the one who was to intercede between them and God. And then Joshua was the one who was to lead them to the battle. In the same Exodus 33 verse 11, we learn that Moses was the man who spoke with God face to face. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Moses was the one. He spoke to God face to face. It wasn't Joshua, as a man speak to his friends. But then when we come to Numbers, in chapter 27, verse 17, we know that Joshua was the man who would go out before them and come back in before them. He was the one who was to lead them for the battle. The first two, we know that it was Moses who God used to speak to them. But now it was Joshua who had to go between them and the people and to be their leader. And what does this teach us? It teaches us that God has his person for every situation. Even in the church, God has his person or his people for every situation. He has a Moses and he has a Joshua. And each perfectly suited for the task that he has given them. God knows everyone's heart. He knows how he has prepared everybody. He knows who should lead or who should play what role. In the church, in the family, even in government. It happened. So we learned that what Moses had done in the past was not the task for Joshua. And what Joshua is supposed to do in the future was not what Moses had done. God uses different people for different tasks and different occasions. And this is a lesson that we must learn as a church or even as a family. We must learn this. God uses different people for different tasks. And he has a good reason for that. As a church, when we face our trials, God supplies those who are gifted for the task at hand at every particular time. Whether it is a committee or whatever it is, God will appoint people that he has prepared to lead the church when they are going through whatever challenges that may come their way. So as I've already said, this passage is a picture of our pilgrimage, because Moses and his people, they were coming from Egypt all the way to the land of Canaan. God used Moses to lead them up to this point. Now Moses was to die and Joshua was to take over. We are in the same pilgrimage. We have been saved from our sins. Now we are going through our sanctification and our walk with God, and until Christ comes to take us to our Canaan, which is heaven. So all what is happening there are lessons for us as we also go through this life. And as I've said, God's people face changes from time to time. In Israel, it was time for a new leader and a new home. And that was a very, very change. For 40 years, they had wandered in the wilderness. And the wilderness was their home. In the wilderness, now they are going to a new place, and there are challenges there. They are going to remember before them. This same Joshua and Caleb and the other people were sent to Canaan to spy the land. That's where they met Rahab. And according to them, It was only Joshua and Caleb who brought news of encouragement. All of them were afraid because they saw giants there. They were looking like dwarfs before them. So they feared, if these are the people that we are going to fight, but Joshua and Caleb, they were very courageous. They gave them hope. So they were going to face enemies. In the same way we will face enemies in our walk with God. Enemies from our own homes, our own families. Enemies from wherever, we are going to face them. And they were, like I said, they were giants there. There are people in this world who are also like the giants that we are also going to face in our walk with God. There are people who are mighty. There are people who are twisted. There are people who are very crafty, especially when it comes to the word of God. And we face all these people in our walk with God. They were going to face battles, as it is shown. The life we are living now is a life of battle between us and Satan and his demons, Satan and his agents. It's going to be a fight that will go on forever and ever until Christ comes. The same way as they were facing in the land of Canaan. They were going to meet pagans, people who never believe in God, and they will be going to challenge them. And they will be tested in their faith. God himself will test them in their faith. In the same way with us, we are going to meet all these things, and we also have our God to also test us in our faith. So there will be challenges more than they have ever faced before. In the same way with us, there will be challenges in our life, in our walk with God. But however, we see that in every situation, God proved himself faithful, as we sang in our third hymn, faithfulness of God. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's faithful to whatever he has said. So as we face changes in our days ahead, we must exercise the courage of faith to follow God's leading. We must prepare in faith and to follow him in faith. Whether that means changes in our ministry, to our role in the community, or how we relate to one another, we must go through everything with faith in God. So now, the first reason is to master courage to face crisis. Another reason why we should master courage is also to move forward. Remember, we are moving towards Canaan. They were moving towards Canaan. We are moving towards heaven. So the reason why we should master another kind of faith is that we are moving forward. That's what God said in Joshua 1:2b-6. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over the Jordan. Move forward. Now it's time to move forward. Because it's time to move forward, you need faith. So we must have that courage of faith. Because he said, go forward, thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the land that I promised to give to Moses and all the people. He said, every people that I saw of your fish shall tread, I will give you. So you see that he has even drawn the areas that he will give them. So now he's telling them to move forward. And they have to move forward with the courage of faith. They can't just go. And despite all what Joshua had seen with Moses here, I can imagine how he would tremble. Friends, to walk with the Lord is not an easy thing. Even when we are coming to preach, even though you are prepared, you will still tremble. And I remember Sergeon said that the day that thing will leave you, that day the Spirit has left you. The day you come to do God's work and you are so confident, the Spirit has left you. You must tremble because you are coming before the holy, holy, holy God. So here Joshua, despite all what he had seen with Moses and all what God has said, he will tremble. He will tremble for so many reasons. He will wonder whether it's he that is going to be the leader. Is he the one who is going to replace Moses? I'm sure he will tremble and he will wish that it wasn't him, but somebody else was going to do it. But I think I'm sure he must have also remembered Moses, the courage that he had in dealing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a very, very wicked king. And yes, when Moses was sent to him, he had the courage to go. So Joshua will be thinking about all these things, how Moses had the courage to go and meet King Pharaoh, and his determination to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. It wasn't a small thing, but Moses had that courage. And I'm sure all this will be ringing in the ears of Joshua, because he was there. And also how Moses faced at the Red Sea, as God told him to just hit the Red Sea with a rod and the sea will open. He will remember all these things that God did through Moses. And then, like I said earlier on, Moses meeting with God at the top of Mount Sinai, and when he came and his face was shining, all these things will come to the mind of Joshua. And then he will also think of the confidence as Moses brought water from the rock, and also how he gave them manna from heaven. So I can hear Joshua saying, I can't possibly do any of this. He's looking at all these things. He will say that I can never do all this, because remember in Deuteronomy somewhere that I've come across it. It is said that Moses was the greatest prophet. And yet even he, Moses, what he went through doing all these things, Joshua was saying, who am I to be able to do all what Moses has done? And I'm sure there will be other reasons for him trembling. You remember how the people rejected Moses? After all that he was doing, they sometimes reject and criticize him. They will be complaining of food. They will be complaining of a lot of things that they were having in Egypt. The same Egypt that they were slaves, they were complaining. So he will be thinking about all this, how difficult the people are. And how they accused Moses of bringing them out of Egypt to kill them in the wilderness. That's what they told him. That he brought them from Egypt to come and kill them. All these things will be in the mind of Joshua, and it will cause some fear and anxiety. And even how at the point they threatened to stone Moses. Remember that people threatened to stone him. And I'm sure Joshua will be thinking about all these things. And the next thing, the other thing they did, remember how they replaced Moses with Aaron when Moses stayed on the mountain too long. When he said he was going to pray and he was keeping long, quickly decided to change Moses. And all these things will be in the mind of Joshua. And he, Joshua himself, like I said earlier on, he also remember when they went to spy on the land and he came with words of encouragement, but all the other people discouraging them. So here, it will also be an anxiety that the whole people who went thought that they couldn't fight them. So this will also be another fear. And what can he say? God is telling him to move. And we will see how God encouraged him with so many words of encouragement. And the lesson we learn is that in all our situations, once it is God who has appointed us to do, God will be with us. We always provide whatever we need, and we will never lack anything. And God knows us. God knows our being. He knows everything about us. He knows how weak, how frail we are. And he knows how he can also strengthen and equip us for any good work that he appoints us to. So now let's see how God encouraged Joshua. First, God provides with a reassurance. Look at chapter 1, verse 3a. God assures him of his provision. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. See, God assured him that wherever he steps, he will give that place to him. And now here, God is also renewing the covenant, and he's reaffirming his commitment, and also he's stating his provision on the land that he's prepared to give him. And you know that what God has said to their people here, that is still true. What he said to Moses is still true. And so, Joshua, just be sure and go, and I will be with you. In verse 4, God spent exactly the boundaries of the land that he had given them. See, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. See, God provided for him. He reassured him what he would do for him. Secondly, God reassured of his promise. God would never leave us like that. Now he assured them now of his provision. The second thing is that he assured them of his promise. In verse 1, the 3b, he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. You see, he continues to assure him of the promise that he has given to Moses, the same promise he has given him. So if you are forgetting the promise, I'm giving it to you again. I promise that I will give wherever you step. And we know that God is a God who never changes. He is trustworthy. The very same possession that he promised Moses, he now gives to Joshua. He said, just as I said to Moses, he reminds him again that he's going to give that same to him. And I'm sure this must be very sweet words to Joshua. And here, he didn't have any reason to fear. God has reassured him of his promise. God has reassured him of his presence with him. So he's telling him that Moses was dead, but God is alive. And whatever the God said to Moses, he will do the same thing to you, Joshua. So now Joshua could count on God the same way as Moses did. Their possession of the land was now secure as it was when they were under Moses. Why? Because God has provided for them. God has reassured him of his presence and his guidance and protection. And we know that God is a trustworthy God. We can trust everything that he says. For now, he's assuring them of his provision. He's now reassuring him of his promise. Again, he assured him of his protection. In verse 1, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. This is another big promise. God is promising him that nobody can touch him all the days of his life. And the same way as he was with Moses, the same way he will be with him. So God assured him of his provision, of his promise, now of his protection. He's assuring him. And it's coming from the God who cannot lie. The omnipotent, the omniscient God. The one who knows everything. He has the power to bring any change. He says that nobody can touch you because I am with you. And I'm sure at this point, any fear that they have will be put to rest. Then they can go forward. That's why later on we read that now Joshua called the people to move forward. Because now he has been so assured that he is invincible and is untouchable. No one could overpower them. And I'm sure this promise was very, very good for the rest of Joshua's life. He said, nobody can touch you all the days of your life, not for a particular period, but he said, all the days of your life. So we can see that when God commands us to exercise the courage of faith and to move forward, he now assures us with his provision, his promise, and his protection. And not only that, he also promised of his presence. In the same 1:5b, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Another promise. He will be with him. Not just giving the protection and the... Now he will be with him. And we know when God said he will be with him, he will be with you. And once God is with you, who can be against you? No one. And that's what God has said. And how, under Moses, how was all this done? So that Joshua will also remember. Remember, like I said, they had received food from heaven. Something they never thought of. God gave them food from heaven. They received water from the rock. And the cloud sheltered them by day. And the pillar also gave them light in the night. You see, so God had been faithful. Despite their unfaithfulness, God was faithful to them all the days through the wilderness. And then here God is saying that just as I have been with you for the past 40 years, I will be with you in the future. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, as we read this morning, God gives a similar assurance of his faithfulness to his word. He said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised." God is faithful, and he will keep to his promise. Similarly, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, he said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not." God's compassion fail not. You can trust him in whatever he has said. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." So now the Israelites can go forward with all these assurances: his protection, his presence with them, his guidance, his direction. He has assured them with all this. That is why I said earlier on that when we talk about faith, faith is believing what God has said and knowing that he who has said it will never lie. And he has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. All these things that were said to Joshua, he said this to us. Because like I said, the picture there is also our pilgrimage in this world as we head towards heaven. And in this life, he will be with us, he will guide us, he will give us all these things. So he also provides with encouragement. Remember, three times God said, "Be strong and of a good courage," in verse 6, 7, and 9. "Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong." Because this were the same word that Moses also had said to the same Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 31, verse 7 to 8. He said, "But be strong and of a good courage." But that was then, but now it is time for Joshua. So he will be thinking about all these things. He will be thinking about all God's promises and how they were fulfilled in the life of Moses. And the same God now saying that, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you." And I really understand why Joshua was trembling. Remember I said these people were people who were very fickle. One time they are with you, another time they are against you. Look at what all Moses was doing, but yet they had complaints. They were criticizing him. And now he is coming to lead these same people. And like I said earlier on, even he who was the greatest prophet had problems with them. How about him, such a young person? So, in summary to all what we have done, like I said, we are learning from this verse 1 to 9. So, if I should summarize the 1 to 9, what we must always remember is that the courage of faith is rooted, first and foremost, in God's provision. We can have the courage of faith because of God's provision. That is what he said in 3a. "I have given you every place where the soul of your food shall tread." That is his provision. The second thing that we should have the courage of faith is that is God's promise. In 3b, he said, "Just as I promised Moses, just as I promised, I'll give the same promise to you." And also, we can have the courage because of God's protection. Look at 5, he said, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live." No one. And he said the same thing to us. That's why I said these people were men like us. So whatever God was doing to them, he can do the same to us. He said, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live." And then also God's presence. So he said, "I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will never leave you or abandon you." And this is the promise from God. And we know that God always completes what he starts. His word is infallible and unfailing. Whatever God has said will come to pass. It was true in those days. It is true in our time. He said he would give the land to them. And really, it happened. God gave it to them. And it's not only to face crisis. As I said, we also need the courage of faith in order for us to move forward. To move forward to where? To move forward to our destination. Their destination was Canaan. Our destination is in heaven. But to move forward, it means we must stand firm. Remember what God told Joshua. He said, this word, talking about the scriptures, must never leave your mouth. We don't have time. There are a lot of things that we can learn from this. He said, this word, the scriptures, must never move from their mouth. They should never turn left or turn right. They must go strictly as God has said. As I said in the morning, the church is God's church. We do things exactly as God wants us to do. We don't switch to do things because to suit a situation. No, God knows everything. We should do things exactly as he said. And he said, this book must not depart from you. So if you want to be like Joshua, if you want to be like Moses, to be like Elisha, and all the men that God used, this word must not depart. You must read the Bible every day. And he said you should meditate upon them. Read, meditate, and teach others. This is the condition. All the promises that God is giving here is not just giving that anybody can take. The condition is that you also apply His word to your life. You read the word of God every morning, every evening, and meditate over what you read. What you read, what does it mean to you? And how do you understand it so that you can also teach other people? That is the condition. And it says, once you do this, all these promises is for you. Nobody can stand against you. Nobody can stand before you. I will be with you. I will guide you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I will be in your presence. And this is what God is saying to us. So friends, if we want to be God's people and see the power of God in our life, this is it. His word must not depart from us. Even though we come to Bible studies, it's good. We must have personal time for our scriptures. It should be our number one thing we do before we go out, before we even speak to anybody. Read your scriptures, and don't just read, meditate upon it, study it, and also teach others. We are saved to help others to also be saved. So, this is the purpose that God has brought us into this world. But how can we do it unless we apply these principles? And once we apply them, He is the God who can never lie. He said in Hebrews chapter 13 or so, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the promise is for us. The condition is there. We have to apply it in our lives. My prayer is that the Lord will enable us to do this, to stick to our scriptures, to keep closer to our scripture, and to serve the Lord sincerely, obey Him. You see, if you read and you don't obey, it won't be effective. The scripture is there as a light unto our feet. You study, you obey it, and you apply it in your life. And all these things will happen in your life.